Okay, so we are up to Perek Tesvov of Devarim, and today we have Halacha Day. So really, the big halacha topic for this chapter is the idea of A, Shmitas Ksafim, and B, the ways of resolving the issues of Shmitas Ksafim Bizman Hazeh. What is Shmitas Ksafim? Thank you. What is Shmitas Ksafim? So the Torah tells us right in the beginning of the Perek that when we come to the period of Shemitah, or the end of the period of Shemitah is how we paskin, although it's a little bit ambiguous, we assume the end of Shemitah, so all debts are supposed to be annulled, and you're not supposed to harass somebody who owes you money. And that's it. So the debts get annulled. Today is the 3rd of March, 2020. It is the 7th of Adar, Tavshin Pei, Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday, and Yurtzeit. And here we go. So the... Okay, so first of all, a couple of issues with regards to this. So A, how applicable is the Bizman Hazeh? And then B, how do we, quote, get around it? Does that mean, so you get a mortgage for however years, 30-year mortgage, and then Shemitah comes in, I think, 3 years from now or so, and then you have a Jewish lender, so you go back to the Jewish lender and say, hey, yeah, I know I owe you 1.5 times the value of my house still, but tough, yeah, right, Shemitah Ksafim, so we're done. So how does that work? So first of all, the first question to ask is this applicable Bizman Hazeh? Why would it not be applicable Bizman Hazeh? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a the mitzvah of the Torah remain applicable. Why would it not be applicable? What? So there's no temple. Sorry. So why would this be temple related? And B, why would it necessarily be land related? What? Is it land related? Why would it be land related? I mean, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I, so you're saying only if I'm in Eretz Yisrael should it be applicable, but if I'm outside it wouldn't be. Okay, one could make the case, although it's not really totally connected. One could say that no, this is an independent halacha that happens to coincide with the idea of Shemitah Ksafim. But there is a but even so, even if it was a connected, I mean, if I own land in Eretz Yisrael and I'm living in Chutz La'aretz, I can't have that land plowed. So this is not connected to the land necessarily. This is just the mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah of Shemitah is incumbent upon every Jew no matter where they live. It happens to be that it's not going to be so relevant if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael. But this would be relevant because it just means that the loan has not been annulled. So anytime you talk about Shemitah, so we end up into this discussion where things are probably, it's probably considered durabanan today. Why is that? So the pasuk, so Shemitah is connected to Yovel, and Yovel has the pasuk that appears on the Liberty Bell, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all its inhabitants thereof. L'chol yoshva aleha. That is the way that the pasuk ends. And then we assume that when is Yovel nohag? When do we actually observe the laws of Yovel? Only when rov yoshva aleha. When the majority of the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. I think we did a halacha day on that a year or two ago on what that means, that Rov Yoshvela, the majority of the Jews have to be there. Israel is already the most populous country, the most populous Jewish country now. It is in the next decade, 2 decades or so, it is supposed to become the majority of Jews are supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael, demographics, right, seem to be leading. So does that mean that these laws are going to be d'oraisa? Or maybe not. Maybe that's not necessarily what exactly that halacha means. So we dealt with that a little while back. But maybe that's the halacha here, that only if the majority of the Jewish people are there, this is going to be a halacha, and if not, it's only going to be, and we'll assume, d'rabbanan. It's only going to be a rabbinic law. Now, once it's a rabbinic law, so then that becomes helpful. But let's just talk about one more halacha. It came up in Maseches Makos recently before I come here, so I have a chavrusa with one of the boys in Torah Academy, so we're learning Maseches Makos this year. So in the beginning, what does Makos have to do with the laws of Yovel? So there is the first parak of Makos deals with the halachos of Edom Zomim, which means that if you're proven to be testifying falsely in a specific way, meaning you cannot have possibly given that testimony, so then you are liable to whatever penalty or cost you were trying to impose upon whoever you were trying to impose it. That's the halacha there. So the Mishnah towards the beginning of Makos says that if I give testimony that a person is going to be chayiv 1,000 zuz, in 30 days from now, and it's actually not true. It was actually that he's chayiv 1,000 zuz in 10 years from now. So you're a chayiv. You have to figure out the distinction, the value of that money for the 9 years and 11 months that you were trying to hold it back from whoever you were trying to hold it back from. I mean, what is the value of the money for that period? Not the full money, right? But just the value of that money. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, "Hey, wait a second." The Gemara asks, "Wait a second. If it's a 10-year loan, so you should be chayiv for not just the value of the money, but all of the money. Why? Because it's a 10-year loan, that's what the Mishnah said, and if my math is right, every 7 years, there's going to be a Shemitah. So over the course of that period, there's going to be a Shemitah's Ksafim." To which the Gemara responds by, well, actually, there's two different girsos in the Gemara. So one approach of the Gemara is to say, yeah, well, he must have signed a prizbul or given over the money to Beis Din. Whether that's one and the same will hold for a second. But you did something in order to avoid that. The second possibility that the Gemara has is that, no. The only time Shemitah's Ksafim is applicable is on money that is already due. If it's not due yet, if it's not what the Pasuk says, lo yigos, if it's not included in where you would be pressing the person, where you'd be harassing the person, so then it's not subject to Shemitah's Ksafim. So it's two girsos in the Gemara. How do we paskin between the two of those? So we assume the way it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch is like the second way, that the only loans that become nullified when Shemitah's Ksafim comes along are loans that are already due. If it's not due yet, so Shemitah's Ksafim is not going to have any effect. Yeah?
We say already due during Shemitah or in the past?
Leading up to the end of Shemitah. So any point,
any
loan that is due up till the end of Shemitah is going to be those are the only things that it's subject to. So it should only be on things that are already past due that's going to be applicable to. Okay, there's still plenty of things that are that. My father told me that when he was lining up last Shemitah to hand in his prizbul, so the person behind him says, "This is my third prizbul that I'm handing in over that loan. Right? I'm going to get the money back eventually, though." So that's halacha number one. So that's the way we paskin. The truth is, is that the way we paskin the halacha, or is that only way that we paskin that way bizman hazet? It's a little bit unclear. I remember looking at this a little bit in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is presenting two girsos, two possible halachos, and doesn't really prove one way or another. So when we say, when Shulchan Aruch paskins that halacha that way, is it because we say, well, it's only din derabbanan, safek derabbanan lekula, and therefore we're going to say that Shemitah's Ksafim is not going to be applicable because it's derabbanan? Or do we say, no, that's actually the halacha? Right, it's a little bit unclear, but at least as man azeh, that's the way that it's going to hold. What else? It does happen that there are halachos, there are loans that are due heading towards the end of Shemitah, which the person has not been able to pay back, and that's going to be a problem. And the Gemara, in fact, recognizes this, that people stopped lending money as one got towards the Shemitah year because they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to get the money back. Now, the truth is, they could say, I'm hereby lending you money, and it's not due until the day after, until Tzom Gedalia after it, right? But maybe the person says, I don't want to wait till Tzom Gedalia after that. I want the money in 30 days from now. I want the money before that period. So what can be done? So the Gemara, the Mishnah describes that Hillel made up this institution called Prizbul. Okay. Now this is prizbul is like one of the big things always brought up by non-Orthodox Jews as proof that where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way that you can really make up whatever you want. You can cross out whatever you want. This was a big problem that it was stopping money talks, and therefore the rabbis had to figure out a way to get around this issue, and they made up this idea called prizbul. So that's not what we assume. We don't assume that rabbis could just make up things. Rather, there has to be a halachic mechanism that is being used in order to achieve this. So what are the ways of avoiding it? So one is, yeah, you...
When was this Hillel?
Hillel.
Yeah.
The man, Hillel. When did he live?
When, yeah.
So this is, this is Hillel of the Hillel sandwich fame, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. He was, but he was, people don't realize, he was still alive during the time of the Second Beis HaMikdash. But you also have to keep in mind that during this time of the second Beis Hamikdash, it could be that Shemitah and Yovel were not the Oraisa. It could be that most of the Jews were living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? If you want to have a trivia question, name two rabbis that have a sandwich named after them, you could say Hillel and me. Right? At Nana's.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, so I don't know of any others. We could add them to the list, but I'm willing to have others added to the list. But for now, you got me and Hillel.
Everyone was a rabbi, too.
Well, who?
Reuben.
Reuben is officially is supposed to be Buster V'Chalef, right?
Oh yeah.
Right. So
at least.
Yeah, we're only going to include Orthodox rabbis for this for these purposes. Okay. So.
What's this principle?
What? Principle. Yeah. So what is it? So the way the Gemara describes it is, you sign this document, you give it in, and everything's good. Okay, well, what happened there? So first of all, one quick halacha, which I should have mentioned out of order, but this actually might work on a level of d'oraisa, is could you just say to the person at the time of the loan, I'm lending you this money, and you know that whole thing about Shemitah's Ksafim? We're agreeing that we're not going to do that Shemitah's Ksafim thing, right? Does that work? Can we just say that? We're going to annul that. So that's actually a continuation of the Gemara in Makos that raises that point and actually makes a distinction. It makes a very careful distinction as to what exactly you said. If you say I'm lending you money on condition that there's no Shemitah's Ksafim, that actually does not work. Why? Because there is, right. There's a concept called Masna Mashakasa B'Torah, that you're going against what it says in the Torah. And if you're making a claim that goes against reality, so sorry, reality wins. But if you say to the person, I'm hereby giving you the money on condition that we're not going to allow Shemitah's Ksafim to apply to that loan, that actually works. That actually works. Now, it's unclear whether that's a good idea or not a good idea, but according to the laws of Choshen Mishpat, according to monetary law, that would work. You're not denying the fact that it exists. We're just putting a Tanai that is outside the realm of Torah. Now, that's okay. Right, you're allowed to put Tanaim outside the realms of Torah. People do that all the time, right? You're going to give me a dollar for a bag of jelly beans on condition that all the jelly beans are red. Okay, so that's an interesting condition that you're adding in, especially if you don't necessarily like red jelly beans, but the Torah doesn't have anything to say about that condition. So it could be here as well, the Torah doesn't have anything to say about that condition, except maybe it does. Right, because besides being a rule that is imposed that the loan goes away, there also is a mitzvah that is going away. And halacha might say, yeah, maybe the Tanai works in terms of a monetary law, but it's not a very good idea in terms of your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and what Hashem is trying to achieve with regards to these laws of Shemitah's Ksafim. So then you move along to this actual idea of prizbol, where it's a little bit unclear what's going on. So the Gemara has in Maseches Gittin, and thank you, Sam, for bringing it in. So the Gemara in Maseches Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav. There's a Mishnah previously where it comes up. And then on Daf Lamed Vav, it asks the big question. That we learned in a Mishnah, it's quoting a Mishnah in Maseches Shviyos, says a prusbol einu mishamit, that if you have a prusbol, so it doesn't affect Shemitah, it's not, you could collect the loans after Shemitah. And it says, ze'echa min hadvarim shehizkin Hillel hazakin, shera'a eslam shenimnu mahavu zed, said these are one of the things that Hillel instituted, because Hillel saw that people were refraining from lending money to one another, v'yavro mashakas v'tor, and they were violating what it said in the Torah, shamer l'cha penyea davar im v'la b'liyal, right, as it says in our psukim, not just that the Shemitah ksafim happens, but it also tells you, and don't be a meanie pants and stop lending money out before the Shemitah. So Amad v'hiskim prizbol, so he rose up and instituted prizbol, v'zehu gufu shel prizbol, mosarni lachem ploni dayanish v'makom ploni shekol chov sheishli etzli ploni, she'egvu kol zman she'erza, that I hereby submit before all of these judges that debt owed to me by this person, I'm going to be allowed to collect afterwards, the dayanim sign it, or the edim sign it. So in fact, there is, if you look at a standard prizbol form, I shouldn't say a standard prizbol form, probably has one one or the other. But in the principal form of the Rabbinical Council of America from BethDin.org, it actually has both possibilities. You have the choice of either signing off on three Dayanim signing it or two Edim signing it. Both of them have halachic advantages and disadvantages, which we'll not cover now. But so the Gemara then asks the big, I would say, $1,000 question, $1 million question, but in this case, probably billion and zillion dollar, trillion dollar question, and that is, umiika midi de midorais mishamit shvias vihiskin hilda lo mishavta. How could it be that the Torah says that there's such a thing as shvitas ksafim, and along comes Hill and says, we ain't doing that anymore? So the Gemara answers, well, Abaye says, well, it's shvias zman hazeh. And we follow Revi, because Revi said that shmita zman hazeh is only durabanan. And therefore, so the Rabbanan said we're going to maintain Shvius even though it's only Durabanan. Hillel came and saw a problem, and therefore established Prisbal. So the Gemara asked, well, wait a second, how could it be that, the Gemara asked the flip side, well, how could it be that the Torah said that you're not going to do Shemitah's Ksaf? I mean, if you're only going to say that Shemitah is only Durabanan, so how could the Rabbanan come along and say that, oh, we're going to make you annul the things in the absence of a prisma when the money was still should still be given over. So where that answer is, well, Shevi Al Tasahu, they're just telling you to sit back, relax, and not go and demand the money, and therefore the Rabbanan have the right to demand that. But what do we see there? That it seems to be contingent on the fact that it's the Rabbanan that we're allowed to do this. So then the Gemara comes along and gives a couple of other possibilities and says, well, Rava says that we have this concept called Hefker based in Hefker, that really the rabbis have the right to control all the money, and therefore they established all the money here. And therefore they have the right to figure to do that in this case as well. That they have the right to sort of define who owns what money. That's a concept that exists in Halacha, like it or you know, whether you like it or not, we observe that we assume that Chacham have that type of power. So a question then asks, well, wait a second, that works on a level of Doraisa, the idea called Hefker based in Hefker. So is it working only? So what is the answer when we say, well, it's only Durabanan? Are we saying, well, this whole thing works only on a level of Durabanan? Or are we really saying, no, it actually does work on a level of Doraisa as well. If that's the case, why would it only work in Shemitah's Durabanan? Right? What is this principle? Is it something that really works? Or is it something that we're only doing today because of the rabbinic status of Shemitah? And that ends up being a shaila that is out there. Machlokas Rishonim makes it in Machlokas and Shulchan Aruch, and actually has many practical ramifications as to whether we're observing this, whether this is like a real thing that we're doing on a level of Doraisa, or we're saying that, well, Shemitah is only Durabanan, so built into baked into the cake of Shemitah being the Rabbanan is the ability of the Rabbanan coming along and saying that, yeah, but the Shemitah's Ksafim thing we're not going to do if you do the Prisbal thing, but that's between us. That's because we made the rule in the first place, so we have the right to adjust the rules. But what is not happening here, just to be clear, what is not happening here is that Hashem said this, that became inconvenient for us, so therefore we're going to say that. We're going to say that, right? And that is certainly not the reality. So how do those two possibilities break down? So one idea, and that is sort of the way the Sifri presents it, is that the way the Prisbal is operating is that it's called Masar Shtaros of the Basin, that if you give over the Shtaros to the Basin, so then Shmita's Ksafim does not work on that. What's going on here? So Shmita's Ksafim is a concept between people. Right, that I Bruce owes me money, and I'm going to ask him for the money until Shemitah comes and says that I can't ask Bruce for the money. Right? What if I give over the shtar to Basin? Basin is not really a personal entity. Basin is Basin. It's a different entity. So Basin has the right to go after Bruce and say, you owe the money. Bruce says, well, what do you mean? Shemitah's Ksafim happens. To which Basin says, yeah, but that's only the person you lent to can't go after you for the money. But we're Basin. We're not really people. We're sort of a corporate entity, and therefore we have the right to continue to ask you for that money. And Bruce said, well, what do you have to do with this? You're Basin. But he says, yeah, we'll take the money and we'll give it over to the person who we think really should have it. Right? So that sounds like it works. And that sounds like it should even work on a level of Doraisa. That sounds like it's biblically working, right? The other way of saying it is that Basin says, yeah, but we have the right to control our money anyway, so we're taking your money and giving it to Eric Gross, right? We could do either one of those things. But according to the first way that it actually works, so what does it mean that along came Hillel and was Hiskin Prisbel?
Wow.
Right? It works. Right? If you go to God, God says, by the way, I gave you this mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim. So you go to God and say, yeah, but can I give my shtar, Bruce owes me all this money. It's really frustrating. He hasn't paid me back yet, but I have this this shtar here. He said it's something about waiting for his house to be done and then he'll put up his mezuzahs at that point. It's something like that, right? So then he gives over the, so I gave it over the things to Beis Din, and therefore Beis Din is really in effect demanding the money. So God strokes his beard and in a deep British accent probably says, oh, well, that works then. I mean, that's included in my halachos. That's the way I constructed things, right? So that works on the level of Doraisa. So comes along the Tosfos in Maseches Gittin and asks that question. Well, then what did Hillel do, right? If that really works on a level of Doraisa, so what? Why do we give all this credit to Hillel, so much so that he had a sandwich named after him, right? To say that he can... To say that he somehow figured out a way around Shemitah if it's something that is already effective within the laws anyways.
What's the Hebrew word for what Hillel did?
Prisbel. Oh, Hiskin. He made a takana. He made a takana. He established the rule of prisbel.
Is this only for loans that are overdue?
Yeah, that's the Hillel. It would only be for loans that are overdue. But that could still be a lot, right? So don't worry. Yours isn't overdue yet.
People who are basically deadbeats. In other words, they...
Deadbeats is a pretty harsh word. Well, I mean,
they were supposed to pay up the loan on a certain date,
right?
And they haven't.
They haven't yet.
They're like stalling. They're waiting for Shemitah to come.
Or they're waiting to have cash in their pocket. I don't know. You know.
When you say it's overdue, that's one possible interpretation, right? You started out this shiur saying. The other possibility is that...
Yeah, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, but we're going to go within that psak. That's the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. I just raised the question of, does that psak still hold true even when Shemitah comes to a Raisa or not? I'm not sure. All right, so how do we answer this question? What did Hillel do? What's the big deal? So Tosfos asks that question, Maseches Gittin. It's interesting, Tosfos seems to be different than Maseches Makos in terms of his underlying assumption. But anyways, for the 2 minutes we have left, so Tosfos asks, So that's the question of Tosfos, meaning there's a way to free reads it that if you give the stars over the basin, it works. So what's the story with Hillel that it has to be only when Shemitah is Durabanan? Mikol Makom, says Tosos, Lo Haya Lasos Takana Lilmod Lasos King. What did Hillel do? Hillel formalized it. Hillel put it on the websites. Hillel made an official form that everybody's just going to line up, sign off this form, give it over to the rabbi or give it over to the Beis Din, and then everything will be good, right? So he says that's what Hillel did. That was the takana. It wasn't that Hillel made the legal mechanism. The legal mechanism existed anyways. Rather, what did Hillel do? Hillel formalized it. Hillel made announcements and said he saw that this was a problem, so he put on Vasis Nayas to Yeshiva World News and says, don't worry. Guys, we'll have a way to resolve this issue called the Beis Din. Now, someone came and said, "Hillel, I thought you could do that anyway." So he says, "Yeah, but it wasn't known by everybody. I'm teaching it, I'm promulgating it, and therefore everybody's going to go ahead and do it." And that's the takana that Hillel made up. Others, the other way of reading it, Rishonim is just saying that no, Hillel sort of made this thing up, and it wouldn't work on a level of Doraisa. Yeah?
What was his office?
He was a Nasi. Yeah, during that period. Nasi or Av Beis Din. It's Hillel and Shammai. I forget which one was which.
It doesn't apply anyway because the loan is overdue. So.
No, that's the point. The Torah says overdue loans get annulled. Yes, that's the machlokas in the Gemara and Maseches Makos, and that's the way we pass it. That only applies to overdue loans. Overdue loans get annulled.
And what about let's say it's 4 years till the Shemitah.
The same thing. If it's overdue, it's overdue.
You want to make a loan to somebody. So you have to make a loan for only
No, no, no. The principle gets signed towards the end of Shemitah year to say all loans that are due to me at this point, I'm hereby giving over to Beis Din. You don't have to sign it at the time of the loan. You sign it when you're getting towards the Shemitah year in order to avoid it being annulled.
But from a practical point of view, when it was being enacted, let's say it was 5 years to Shemitah.
Yeah.
So you would only make a loan for 5 years.
You could do whatever you want. A loan is, you can get a loan for 30 days. You can get a loan. That's
30 year mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you do a 30 year loan and it's 5 years, the Shemitah is.
But Hillel publicizes this mechanism, right?
Right. Yeah. I would add, and there's one more middle ground, and that is that you could say that that Prisbal technically works on a Doraisa, but it's built on so many sfeikos. I mean, as you go through these halachas, there's a bunch of questions that are being raised. I mean, starting with that issue, that machlokas, and there's other machlokasim that we're relying on and saying, well, if Shemitah is only derabbanan, we have the right to rule safik derabbanan lekula. We have the right to rule leniently on this thing, and that's the reason that Prisbal works. Not that it technically could work on a level of Doraisa, but just the way that we do it, you know, is built off on so many sfeikos that we wouldn't rely on it if it was a din d'oraisa, and that was the takana that Hillel made up.
Okay. The principle is only for overdue loans. The principle is not, right?
No, so the principle would be on loans that are overdue heading into Shemitah. Yeah, because otherwise Shemitah's ksafen doesn't happen. Otherwise Shemitah's ksafen doesn't have an effect if it's not due until after Shemitah starts. If it's not due until Tzom Gedalia of year after Shemitah, it wouldn't matter.
How's it
going to
interfere with
Right. But people aren't going to lend money, 2 months before Rosh Hashanah, knowing that if you don't give me the money back within 2 months, I'm going to. It's due in a month. Okay, the guy's going to avoid
That's
you.
Not it's due in 2 years.
Yeah.
No, so those loans you would still do. You could still do that loan.
So it's only the short-term stuff.
Or longer-term stuff. I mean, Hillel saw that people weren't lending out the money because they knew that if it's due before Shemitah comes along, it's going to be annulled. So whatever the scenario would be.
Let's say it is 3 years to Shemitah.